But this woman that's going to speak to you today is one of the great champions here at Bethel. So if you're here for the first time, and you pick a great Sunday to check out Bethel. She was actually one through our campus ministry at Austin Peay State University. She ran track there. She was a long distance runner. And she heard the gospel, and God got her attention. So much so that after she graduated, she felt the call that I am called to go back onto my college campus where God wanted me and do the same thing that what others did for me, I'm going to go do for them. So her full-time job now, she's on Austin Peay preaching the Bible to everyone and anyone that will listen. And so I want you guys to give a big hand clap for this, one of the great champions of Bethel, Heather Thylacko. Heather, come on up here, sweetie. Heather is going to encourage us today. Let's just extend our hands to Heather. Father, thank you so much for Heather. I thank you for the call of God, Lord, that's on her life. Lord, I thank you for what you want to speak through her. God, give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Awesome. Well, I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to be able to speak to you guys this morning. Like Pastor Lance kind of briefly introduced, I grew up in the South, but in a very non-religious home. We didn't grow up going to church. You know, we didn't go to church. We didn't own Bibles. We didn't, you know, really talk or think about God. And it was, I had Christians around me, Christians in my life, people that would go to church, but they never had an impact or any influence in my life when it really came to serving God or seeking after what God really wanted. And so it was 2010, my junior year of college, when this group of just crazy Christians in my class, they just insisted on inviting me out to this campus ministry constantly. I mean, it was a year of invites, a whole year of invitations. Heather, take this flyer. Heather, come to this campus ministry. Heather, come here. You need to go, da-da-da. And I just remember thinking, you guys are crazy. Christians are hypocrites. I don't like church people. All you guys do is just, you know, you're wussies. You go to church and sing these little songs. I don't want no part of that. Like, no. But something drew me. These Christians who never gave up. And there was something in them that, unlike the friends that I would party with on the weekend, but still they went to church, unlike their impact in my life, there was something about these Christians that I wanted to listen to. I wanted to see, what is it? What drives you guys? What keeps you guys coming back to me day after day after day after day, asking me to come to this thing? What is it? Why do you guys love God so much? Why are you guys, what is this power inside of you? What makes people look, listen, and see? It's one thing. It's light. It's light. You see, because unlike the Christians that I had grown up with, these Christians carried a real and a powerful light within them. The Bible says in John 8, this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then in Matthew 5, 14, Jesus goes on, and now he says, no, now you are the light of the world. So what changes between Jesus being the light and now you being the light? Christ in me. Jesus is the light inside of me. Jesus was the light inside of these Christians that were in my class, that were persistent and that loved God and that were seeking Jesus with everything they had. It was the light of Christ. It wasn't their own good deeds. It wasn't their own willpower to conjure up some type of strength, to conjure up some type of goodness, just that so that it'll look good on the outside. They could have cared less what it looked like on the outside, because it was what was in them that was so powerful. You see, we are drawn to light. We're drawn to it. It's kind of like, you know, if you're a country person, you have bonfire parties, you know? I mean, I grew up having bonfire parties. We would go out in a field and light a bonfire, and then everybody would sit around it and just stare at it and throw stuff in it and watch it and be like, why are we so fascinated with this fire? Like, why can we not just quit looking at it? Like, what is it that just draws us and attracts us to light so much? It tells us, God tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. This is Paul speaking, and he says, he's telling them, he said, the god of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds, of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You see, one of the reasons that as Christians we don't preach, go and just do good deeds and hopefully people will see Jesus is because people are blind and they can't see your good deeds for what they are. You can help people all day long. You can be the, I mean, there are atheists that are probably better people than I am. But good deeds do not win someone to Jesus because their minds are blinded. Their minds are blinded to what it is. They can't understand. You see, C.S. Lewis, if you're familiar with the movies like The Lion, The Witch, and the Narnia, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, he's the author of those books. But he said this. He said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else. You see, when the sun rises, when the sun comes up, only then in the daylight can I see the grass, can I see the trees, can I see the houses, can I see the people. Only when the sun comes up, it's not necessarily that I'm looking at the sun, but it's because of the sun that I can see everything else around me. And it's the same way with Jesus. You see, your hearts are blinded, but when Christ comes in you, now because of Jesus, I can see everything for what it is. I can see the world for how it is. I can see the brokenness. I can see the pain. I can feel the reality of the blinded minds that Satan has just gripped hearts. And I can see these things for the very first time. Good. And now when you begin to see the world for the first time because of Jesus, because of what he's done, your heart begins to be filled with his compassion. Because by him, I can see everything else. You see, the purpose of mankind has always been, from the very beginning, whether you believe in God or not, your purpose from the beginning was to be in perfect relationship with God the Father. From the very beginning, that was your purpose. But we see that that's not our state right now. See, mankind may be lost in darkness. That may be our present state, but it is not our purpose. It is not our purpose to be lost. The purpose of mankind is to be with God. And that is why Jesus said, look, if sin and darkness is going to separate man from me, then I'll do whatever it takes to go after him. And Jesus said, if I have to leave the throne of heaven, I'll do it. If I have to go and walk the streets and be mocked and ridiculed and abandoned and rejected and beat and the flesh ripped off my back and go to a cross and have nails put in my hand and be buried in the grave and be resurrected, then I'll do it. Yeah, good. Because your purpose is to be with him, and he is willing to do whatever it takes to get to be with you. He is willing to woo you over until your heart is so in love and so ingrained with his love and with his thoughts and his ideas that your only reasonable response is, Jesus, I'll go. You see, whenever I became a Christian, when I finally went to U Church, when I finally went to the campus ministry on campus, and I heard the gospel preached for the very first time as a 20-year-old college student. And this man that preached his message, I was burning on the inside. I was looking at my friends like, why are you not reacting to what you just heard? I feel like I'm going crazy. I mean, there are not enough words in the human dictionary to describe what was happening on the inside of my soul and on the inside of my heart when the gospel was preached. And for the very first time, 2 Corinthians 4:6, God shined his light into the darkness of my heart. Because the Bible says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. When I heard the gospel preached, his light began to shine into the darkest places of my heart. And it transformed. I mean, I could not believe, God, you know what I've done. You know what I think. You know what I've thought about your people. I mean, I sat in the back row the first time I ever went, mocking and laughing. I mean, with my cousin. He was with me. We were laughing. I mean, we were laughing at these people. We were laughing at these Christians. We were just making fun. Like, dude, this is lame. These people are lame. But it wasn't until I heard the gospel. Jesus pursuing me, not me trying to get to God, that my heart was just radically transformed. And you see, Christ's intervention was the cross, and he came on this mission of redemption and nothing short of that. Because when the presence and the power of the Spirit comes into your life, Jesus isn't just coming to make you a better person. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Jesus is not coming to make us better. He has come to make us new. You see, Jesus is coming to renew the world and everything in it. And on his judgment day, he said, I'm going to establish. We don't have a ticket to heaven. Guys, listen, we don't have a ticket to heaven of one day in hopes of I'm going to go somewhere. Jesus is coming back to establish his kingdom right here. Right here. And guess where he started first? In you and me. Out of all of creation, the God of the universe who created the heavens and the stars and the earth and everything that's in it. He said, I'm saving them first. You see, everything one day will be renewed. But he is renewing our hearts first. And he does it by his love. He wins us over. He wins us over. And when this redemption has come into your hearts, when Christ comes and he says, I'm making all things new, and he starts with you. Now, I mean, no one had to tell me what to do. I mean, seriously, no one had to tell me, Heather, now it's your job, go preach the gospel. No one had to tell me. I mean, I look in this room and I see people sitting in here because I would go and preach the gospel. If this love is so great, if this would transform my heart, if I say I love you, how dare I keep this from you? I mean, Holy Spirit would not leave me alone. He would not. Heather, preach to this person. Heather, tell them. Do you love them? Then tell them of my love, because I love them more. I mean, this was the constant play in my head. And it still is. It still is. Do you love people? Because Jesus does. That's the cry of his heart. You're the greatest treasure, like Vince was saying. You're the greatest treasure in all of creation. He'll do anything for you. He'll move heaven and earth to show you his love. He did that. He went to the cross. He died. He bled for you. If someone died for you, would you dare question their love for you? Would you dare question it? No, he loves you so much. He loves you so much, and He's not a bad God, and he's not bad. Because he knows, you see, you were made for him. And when you get restored to him through the cross, through the light of the gospel, then it's not like a slave driver telling his people, now go, go, go. No, it's an overflow of the love that's in your heart that just pours out into the world around you until eventually all of creation looks on earth as it is in heaven, because now you have the mandate of heaven. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:18 says all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? It's this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. See, not counting people's sins against them. This isn't a do-better religion. If you want a do-better, be-better religion, go to another place. This isn't it. That's not what Jesus is about. Jesus isn't about get your life together. Jesus is about come to me with all your mess, all your mess, all your brokenness, all your pain, all your hurt. Just come to me. I'll make it new. He has the power to make it new. And you see, whenever you come into this place, I know there's a fear. I know there's a fear that lives on the inside. And it's like, well, what if I don't have the words to say? Heather, I'm not like you. What if I don't have a testimony like that? It's not what you're saved from. It's who you're saved to. I cannot stand when someone says, Heather, I don't have a testimony like you. What am I supposed to do? It has nothing to do with what I was saved out of. It has everything to do with who I was saved for. If the love of God is in you, then he compels you to go and he compels you to preach because he knows he's smart.
Very good.
He has no beginning and no end. He knows if you do this, you'll become alive.
That's it.
Have you ever been to a zoo? You go and these fierce animals that could literally rip you to shreds, they sit in these cages and you walk by them like they're nothing. They have their meals brought to them every day. And they don't even know the power and the potential in what they are. They sit in a cage all day long. All day. Sometimes that can look like the church. We come to the church, we sit in these walls, and we get fed week after week, and we never know what we're made of. We never know what we can do. Christ wants to awaken you. You see, one of my favorite things on TV to watch is these shows about Alaska and these shows about these people just going out and they're living in the wild and having to, you know, really fight and survive and live and thrive. And you see that they respect the wild animals. One thing I learned about the Alaska people, they respect the grizzly bear. Because that grizzly bear is wild, and he knows the power that's in his paw, and he knows the power that's in his jaw, and he knows how fast he can run and how high he can jump, and he knows what he can tear apart. You don't walk past a wild grizzly bear and just wave at it. You're either going to run or you're going to surrender to it. And see, this is what Christ wants to do in you and me. He wants to awaken you to know the power that's in you, the power that you have in your words, the power that you have in what you're speaking. You see, Christ never made you to come and sit in this church and look nice. If that's what it was about, I'd get out. I don't want a part of it anymore. No more. Because Christ, because of the cross, has given us an inheritance. And he said, go and raise the dead. I believe the Bible. He said, go and lay hands on the sick and see them be healed. He said, go and prophesy the mysteries of heaven into someone's heart. He said, go and speak in unknown tongues. He said, go and see signs shall follow those who believe. This is the power that's in you. It's the power that's in you. You see, some of you still, you probably don't even believe still. And you know, it's okay. You think, well, Heather, I'm too weak. I'm not as strong. Listen to this. Paul said this. I'll just read it to you. We have treasure in a jar of clay. You know how fragile a jar of clay is? Drop it, it breaks. That's you. That's me. We have this treasure in a jar of clay to show the power that is from God, not from us. The miracles, the signs, the wonders, the power of the gospel to transform our heart, not from you, not from me. We are hard-pressed on every side, never crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down, not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life, Jesus' life, may be also revealed in our body so that death is at work in us but life in you. There's this Navy SEAL that I really love. His name is Jocko. You should Google this guy. But he has this saying, oh, it's hard, good. That's his advice. Good. Oh, you might fail? Good, you'll learn. Oh, it might not work? Good, try a different way. Oh, you might get your feelings hurt? Good, Christ is greater than your heart. Oh, you might get rejected? Good, Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Good. If it's not hard, are you really living? If you have breath in your lungs and the love of Christ in your heart, then preach. Go to the people around you, your family, your friends. You don't have to go to another country, even though I hope you do. I want to. But there's people around you right now that have no idea the darkness that they live in because the God of this age has blinded their hearts. Just go. Christ is faithful. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's stronger than you ever will be, and he's better than you ever can be. And all he's asking of you today is come to the foot of the cross, admit and surrender, and watch what he'll do in you and through you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank you so much, God. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your power. I thank you, God, for the grace that was shown to us on the cross. And Jesus, I just pray that even now that there would be a great commissioning of the Spirit in the hearts of the people in this room, Father, that they would feel your presence, feel your Spirit, and be commissioned by you, King Jesus, to go to a lost and hurt and broken world, Father, to bring the only thing that's ever going to heal, which is the gospel of Jesus, the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray that the message of our hearts would be you, King Jesus, that the message of our hearts would be more of you, Lord, less of me. It would be your cross, Lord. It would be your death and the power of your resurrection. Father, I thank you that you're destroying religion right now in Jesus' name. That God, that you're awakening love and awakening power of the Holy Spirit within us to go and to see the world changed for God's glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give Heather a big hand clap. Tremendous. Let's all stand to our feet. You know, this was tremendous. A message like this is really there to ignite something on the inside of us. And that's how you should feel. You know, you get in the car and you say, hey, what'd she say? You're probably not going to remember. What was her point? Because the reason why is because what she wanted to do was to ignite something in you. Number one, to ignite that there, God has a passion for you, a hunger for you. And that right there, that relationship you have with him, that's what ministry is. We complicate ministry. Ministry is an overflow, she said it, of my relationship with God. That's what it is. It overflows in my life wherever I go. So really the challenge for us today is, what is our life? What are we preaching with our life? The way we live, what we communicate, what are we doing? And we do this in different ways. All of us do. We might not be as bold as Heather, but God wants to, like she said, she wants the lion of the tribe of Judah to roar through you some way. And you, by the Holy, you and Holy Spirit, you got to ask him, Lord, how do you want to roar through me? Some of us, it's different for some of us. Could be handshake, smile. It could be you need to get right with God. I don't know. It's based on your personality, how God uses you. But that's the prayer you need to pray as we walk away today. Holy Spirit, how do you want to roar? You are a lion. The lion lives in me. The lion does not want to be caged. He wants to roar through us. So, Father, we just present ourselves to you. We receive the message that you spoke through Heather this morning. Lord, we're asking you, Holy Ghost, show us, how do you want to roar through each of us? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to say? Lord, I pray that you would give us the boldness to be able to speak. When we hear you, that person needs you to pray for them. I need to work God into this conversation. Lord, help us with that, Spirit of God. We want to see others impacted the way we have been impacted. So God, we receive that today. We want to live on mission for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God one more big hand clap this morning.